Luke 18. Luke 18. I think everybody knows Mary, but let me not take it for granted. So if you don't mind, pal, would you mind standing just a second? My wife, Mary. And we have three children. Will's an evangelist. He's home this week. And he and Cena have three kids. And then Wendy lives in Northern Virginia. Her husband's a lawyer. And Wren lives on the ranch, and she takes care of music, and her husband takes care of systems and finance. That's his title, so that's what he does. And that's our whole family. I don't have any pictures, but Mary does. She's got a couple thousand on her phone, so if you want to see any pictures, we can take care of that. How many of you people have been to the ranch? Could I see your hand? Wonderful. Well, that's wonderful. We thank God for that. The ranch began in 1953, because of a burden my parents had for reaching those who are deaf. My sister is deaf, and so they started the camp so that we could have deaf, and now we have hearing teens, hearing 8 through 12-year-olds, juniors, day campers, two camps for families. In the summer, we had about 3,400 campers this past summer. So we'd love for you to come if you can sometime. I think it would be a blessing to you. Okay, you got Luke chapter 18. Look down at verse 15. And if you don't mind, out of respect to the scriptures, let's just stand as we read, all right? Luke 18, verse 15. And they brought unto him, that's to Jesus, also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them, that is, the children and the people that brought them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer, permit little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no way enter therein. Father, help us to understand this passage and to see it in order that we can live in light of it. And I pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Please be seated. While sometimes they are frustrating, you just have to love children, don't you? Aren't children amazing? This summer at the ranch, there was a boy, I'm guessing he was 9. Who was saved in one of the services, and a counselor and I were standing in the aisle, would be right here about halfway back. And this boy was coming down the aisle, and so the counselor that was standing with me, an adult, said to the boy, and what did you do? And he said, I trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior. And he said, wonderful. And he said to the boy, if you died today, where would you go? And the boy stopped and thought for a second, and he said, to heaven. And the counselor said, that's good. Now he said, if you died 5 years from today, where would you go? Now what he meant by that question is, you're saved today, and you're saved eternally. So if you went to heaven today, that'd be fine. But if it was 20 years from now, and you passed away, you'd go to heaven. So he said to this little 9-year-old, if you died 5 years from today, where would you go? And the boy stood there with a quizzical look on his face, and he said, I'd still be in heaven. You can't die twice. All right, now, don't you love that answer? It takes a child to have the kind of sense and sensibility to give answers like that. Now, in this story, they brought children to Jesus. That Jesus could touch them, that's what the Bible says, and bless them. My father used to believe that these children might have been handicapped. I don't know, we'll get back to that in a minute. But they brought these children to Jesus, and when the disciples, the learners, saw it, they were unhappy, and they rebuked the people who brought the children. And Jesus said, permit the little children to come unto me. Suffer them not. Don't keep little children from me. For of such, Jesus said, is the kingdom of heaven. He said, in fact, Unless you come to me as a child, you will in no wise be in heaven. Now, a lot of people have said you need to have the faith of a child in order to go to heaven. And I would agree with that. That makes sense, does it not? You need to have the faith of a child in order to go to heaven. So the question would be, what is faith in the first place? Well, the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Faith is that gift of God that lets us know truth because God says it. In other words, God says something and you trust what God says. You have faith in what God says. Now, I want you to see, first of all, this morning, the things people think that childlike faith means, which are wrong. Here's what people think. You know, you need to have faith like a child. What does that mean? And a lot of people think two things that are obviously incorrect. Here's the first. A child will believe anything. A child will believe anything. You need to have faith like a child because a child will believe anything. Well, now there is an element of truth to that, is there not? It is true that children might believe anything. Now, you're not going to believe this, but trust me in it. Did you know there are adults that convince children that on the 25th of December, a fat guy is able somehow, miraculously, to come down the chimney, even if you live in Brazil and don't have a fireplace, he will come down the chimney and bring you presents, and his name is Santa Claus. Now, I hate to say this with young children listening, but they ain't no Santa Claus. But sometimes children believe that because adults, now don't get mad at me, who should know better, convince them that it's true. So if somebody says, you know, you need to have faith like a child because a child will believe anything. But if a child will believe anything, won't adults as well? Did you know, I saw on television about a month and a half ago, a lady who had a medical background, who was asked the question by a member of Congress, do you believe that men can become with child? The word they used was pregnant. Do you believe that men can be pregnant? And this was her answer. You ready for this? It's kind of involved, so you might miss what she was saying. Do you believe that men can be pregnant? And she said, yes. Are there adults who believe that? Wouldn't that be somewhat in line of a child believing that reindeer can fly? Wouldn't that be kind of silly? So to say children will believe anything is beside the point because parents can as well. Isn't that true? And then somebody says, well, when you have the faith of a child, you need to be have faith of a child because children will follow anybody. Well, it is partially true, is it not, that children will follow people that are not necessarily good for them to follow? Doesn't that happen? There are children that will follow things or truths or people that are not necessarily good for them to follow. I hate to bring this up, but isn't that true with adults? Yes. Now look, this is not political. This is I'm not pushing politics here. Well, maybe I am just a little bit. But there are a lot of dear people and a lot of good people and a lot of people that love God, and I think a lot of people that love their country that will vote for a party that wants no cash bail and a party that wants perpetrators of felony crimes to be set loose immediately. Did you know that? Did you know that there are people, good people, godly people in some cases, people who love their country in many cases, who want you to pay for my son-in-law lawyer's education? Now, this is going to come as a shock to you, but my son-in-law makes more money than I do. That's sad. I know it is, but he makes more money than I do. He is a lawyer. He makes good money, but you know, I think you should pay for his education, don't you? Well, a lot of people will vote for that. Well, then could I argue that they're following the wrong people? Do you know anybody that the first thing they do when they go to news is look at the social section to see what wonderful people in Hollywood are doing with their marriages or with their children? Could I argue they're following the wrong people? Okay, so this matter of our being like children in order to have faith in Christ has nothing to do with following the wrong people or believing just anything. All right, so what does faith mean? Well, in Hebrews 11, when the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, it's the evidence of things not seen, it means faith is the promissory note. Faith is the reality of things that you can't see. For example, I have never seen Jesus Christ, but I trust the Bible about him, and I trust what the Bible says. And if you use the word trust, it'll help you. Faith means trust. It means relying on someone else who can do for you what you can't do for yourself. Well, here's the way this works. I'm a sinner, and I can't make it to heaven, but Jesus Christ is God, and he died in my place, and he paid the penalty for my sin. And he offers to me the gift of eternal life. So when I come to Christ and I rely upon him and I trust in him, he will do for me what I cannot do for myself. Now, did you know that children by nature rely on adults? Because they have to. If your son is, let's make him 8. And he woke up this morning with a sore throat. And he knows that if he has something that's not working right, he needs to go to mom, right? So he goes to mom and says, Mom, I need an aspirin. And she says, we just ran out. They have some down at the local grocery store. Or they have some at CVS. Or they have some at Walmart. Or they have some at Walgreens. Okay, is everybody with me? So mom says to the 7-year-old, hey, I'm busy, I'm getting ready for church, and your dad is fixing breakfast or whatever, just take dad's pickup and go down to CVS and buy some medicine and come back and you can take it. Does mom ever say that? No, why not? Well, in the first place, he can't buy anything. Dad and mom have to buy it for him, don't they? By the way, that never changes. When your kids are adults and in their 50s, you still wind up paying for lunch at Wendy's. All right, so he can't buy anything, number one. Number two, he can't drive the pickup, can he? Not legally anyway, down to the store. So this 7-year-old knows that he needs to depend upon his parents to get the aspirin. Doesn't that make sense? It's the way he lives his life. So if you say to a 7-year-old, would you like to go to heaven? Well, he'll say, yes, I would. But he'll almost never say, I can get there by myself. He knows what it is to trust somebody else to do for him what he cannot do for himself. And so he'll say, well, who can help me get to heaven? Now, if you stop and think of the brilliance of a 7-year-old in this question. You go to an adult and you say, would you like to go to heaven? Yes, I would. And I'm doing the best I can to get there. Does that make any sense? Can you get you to heaven? If I said to you, where is heaven, would you know where it is? And don't just say, this and this is a matter of a few miles out in space of hundreds of thousands of miles. Is it not? All right, so suppose you said to me, where do you live? And I said, Murfreesboro. Is this south? Somebody help me out. Is this way south? Nobody knows. We're in Tennessee. All right. Let's play like this is south. All right. I live east of here. So if you said to me, where do you live? And I said, I live in Murfreesboro. And you said, where is that? And I said, could you get there? Of course not. So can you get yourself to heaven? Of course you can. Plus, what vehicle would you use to get you to heaven? What vehicle would you use? Plus, all of this has to happen after you croak. So you're dead. You can't get yourself to the guy to put you in a casket. How would you get you to heaven? Now that makes all kind of sense unless you're an adult. If you're an adult, you feel self-empowered. So I'm doing the best I can, and I believe, I go to church, I love my fellow man, I do unto others as I'd have them do unto me. I believe I can make it to heaven. No child thinks that. Can you make it to heaven on your own? No. I've got to trust another to do for me what I cannot do for myself. Is this making sense? So except you have the kind of relationship with God that a child has, you're not going to make it to heaven. Because you can't get to heaven on your own. You've got to trust Him to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Now here's the second thing, and our time is gone. Not only can you and I get to heaven on your own, but you can't live your life as a child of God on your own. My son Will says, here's what we say. When we're saved, we say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. I couldn't have saved myself. Thank you so much for having saved me. Now I'll take it from here. Well, you say, I wouldn't say that. Well, most of us have. Things like this. I'm going to be a better Christian. I'm going to love church more. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to say my prayers more. I'm going to read the Bible more. Have you ever said any of those things? I'm going to be more faithful in church. I'm going to pray more often. I'm going to read more consistently. Have you ever said any of those things? You know, you can't do any of those things. You can't do any of them except God provides for you. My dad used to say, in a wrestling match, if you can't pin your opponent, you can't keep him pinned after somebody else has pinned him. In other words, you're in a wrestling match and gorgeous whoever throws your opponent, you can't keep him down if you could throw him in the first place. Now listen to me. You can't keep you saved unless you saved yourself in the first place. And you can't live victoriously unless you trust another to do for you what you can't do for yourself. Let me give you some examples, all right? Here's the Bible. This is what the Bible says, and it says it clearly. The Bible says, love your enemies. Okay, so you say, you know what? I know I don't love my enemies, but I should love my enemies, and I'm going to love my enemies. Good luck. You can't love your enemies. Most of us can't even love our friends. I get a kick out of this. Here's a guy, and he's in some kind of a social action to promote peace in the world. And he goes to a march, which I'm not opposed to. That's not my point. But he goes to a march, and he loves peace. When I was a kid, this was the peace sign. I don't know if it still is around anymore or not. But back when they had hippies. You remember the old days, hippies? Looked kind of like Bob Jones was kind of the idea. Over here. Except they had slightly more hair. All right. So here's a guy that is liberal in his politics and liberal in his lifestyle. And he's saying, we need peace in the world. And he can't even be at peace with a Republican. He divorces his wife. What's that all about? He gets mad at his kids, and he fusses with his neighbor over the way his neighbor does his yard. What's that all about? He wants to love his enemies. He doesn't even really love his friends, and you can't. Let me give you another example. In the Bible says to me, husbands, talking to me in this case, husbands, love your wives. Now listen to this. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I love Mary. And I loved Mary for many years. And it's not a problem to love Mary. She's a lovable person. So I have no trouble loving Mary. But God says, Bill, I want you to love Mary. Okay, I can do that. As Christ loved the church. So now suppose you came to me and you said, Bill, do you love Mary as much as God loves you? What's the answer to that? Can you? Can I love, am I God? Can I love like God does? Okay, but the Bible says I am supposed to love Mary like God loves me. Well, I can't. Okay, so I trust him, the Lord, to do for me, poor Bill, what he can't do for himself. You following this? I say, Lord Jesus, I can't love Mary as I should. Would you love Mary in and through me so I can obey what you said? Bob Jones Sr. It's my second time to quote him this morning. It's interesting. Bob Jones Sr. was an evangelist from the last century. And he used to say, back of God's commands, he puts omnipotence. Now, what does that mean? It means anything God tells you to do, he, the Lord, will give you the power to do it.
Amen.
Suppose I said to you, do you like church? Well, you're here this morning, so I would guess that means you like it. But have you ever wanted not to be in church? Oh, come on, people. Have you ever wanted to stay at home instead of go to church? Haven't we all? Have I told you people about the AFC football championship game? Have I told you people? It's just a wonderful story. Mary and I were in Florida, and it was end of January, first of February, and Denver, Mary's from Denver. The Denver Broncos were playing the New England Cheaters for the AFC championship. All right, now, the Broncos did win the game, by the way, and they went on to the Super Bowl, and they won the Super Bowl. Okay. So, we were going to be in church that night, and I was speaking. Of course, I wanted to see the Broncos game, but I couldn't, because I was in church. And Mary wanted to see it, too, but of course, she couldn't either, because she was in church, too. So, I was in the auditorium preaching, and the auditorium is almost exactly the size of this auditorium, almost exactly. And I was preaching, and suddenly, on somebody's iPhone, the Denver-New England game came on. And the lady was sitting right there in about the third row. And I knew this lady because I had been preaching in this church before. And I mean, the Denver game just came on full blast on her iPhone. And I said to this lady, Mary Rice, is that your iPhone? And she said to me, no, it's yours. And the pastor was sitting right over here, and the pastor said, go Broncos. All right, now this is in a church service where I am preaching the Bible. And the pastor is rooting for the Broncos, and Mary's got the game on my phone. Well, I'm preaching. Well, after the service, I said to Mary, I said, Mary, how in the world did the Broncos game come on my phone? And she said, I don't know, Bill. I was just checking the score. All right. So while I'm pouring my heart out and preaching the word, my wife is listening to the Broncos game. Now, let me ask you a question.
Think I wanted to be in church that night?
And we know Mary didn't want to be in church. And the pastor didn't want to be in church that night. All right, so sometimes, you know, I'm just going to start loving church. You can't. Well, should you? Should you want to be in church? Should you not forsake the assembling of yourselves together with other people of like precious faith? Yeah, but sometimes you don't want to. Like some of you dear people won't come back tonight. Now look, I know there are some people that can't come out in the evening service. Some of you say, Brother Rice, I don't like to drive when it's dark. Forget the fact that we're in daylight saving time and we'll still be bright tonight. Aren't there reasons where people can't come to church? I mean, legitimate reasons. Like Broncos games. No, aren't there legitimate reasons? Seriously. Okay, so we all know that. But some of you could, but you don't. And if I said to you, why don't you come? Well, it would boil down to, I really don't want to be there. Okay. Well, shouldn't you want to be there?
Yes.
Yeah, but you can't want to be there because of you. You can only want to be there because of what Christ does for you. Are you following this?
Yes.
See, we think, I can't save me. So I'm not like the people who think they can save themselves. I can't save me, so I'll trust Christ. But then we think, I can do everything I should as a child of God all by myself, and you can't. Now we're talking about the family today, and there's great need in the family, is there not?
Yes.
All right, but you can't meet that need on your own. So all of us need to say, dear Lord, you tell me what I should do, and I will trust you to empower me to do what I cannot do on my own. I'll trust you to do for me what I can't do for myself. Let's bow for prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask Pastor to stand with me. And I'd like to ask two questions, and they're simple, so just hear these two questions. I wonder if you're here today and you'd say, Brother Bill, you know, I have never believed on, I have never trusted Christ to save me. You may be a child, but that's okay, because everybody has to come to Christ trusting him just like a child. You may be an adult. You could be a teenager. I wonder if you're here and you'd say, Bill, I have never trusted Christ to save me from my sins, but I want to and I need to. And you'd say, I want to right now. Pray for me. Would you slip a hand up where you're seated until I see it, and then you can take it down. I won't embarrass you. Just slip up a hand until I see it. Bill, I can't say I've ever trusted the Lord Jesus to be my Savior, but I want to, and I know I need to. And you'd say, pray with me and for me. Anyone like that at all? Okay, here's the second, and probably this morning, the more important question. I wonder if you're here and you'd say, Bill, I trusted Christ some time ago, or just recently. I've been saved. But I'm trying to do things God tells me to do by myself. And I'm not trusting him to help me do what I cannot do on my own. And today, as we looked at this passage, God spoke to my heart about trusting the Lord to provide for me so I can do what God wants me to do. And I want to trust him for that this morning. And you'd say, pray with me, Brother Bill and Pastor, and for me. Would you slip a hand up where you're seated? Just slip it up where you're seated. Well, God bless you. Well, isn't that wonderful? And yes, well, God bless you. Okay, any others? Don't raise your hand again. Same question, second time. God bless you, son. Anybody else? Anyone else at all? Brother Bill, pray for me that I'll trust the Lord to do for me and through me what I cannot do for myself. Anyone else? Slip in. God bless you. Anyone else? Okay, everybody, want to look right here? Look right here. Let me tell you exactly what we're going to do. We could do this. We could just sing a song together, and we often do this. And you could slip out and just come down to the front and be seated or kneel and pray and ask the Lord to help you with that. That'd be good, would it not? Okay, but I'm going to ask you to pray right where you're seated. And here's the way we're going to do it. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you, if you raise your hand, to pray right where you're seated, and to pray specifically. Say, "Dear Lord, help me to trust you that I'll do things that you want me to do." In other words, help me to look to you and to believe in you and to trust you to help me to do right, because none of us want to by nature, correct? All right, and you pray that prayer. Then after I've given, well, I'll pray, and then I'll just be silent. We won't have any music or anything. We'll just wait for a few moments, and I'll ask you to pray. And then after a short time, I'll just say, if you prayed, would you raise your hand? Now listen, look, all of us could pray and just say, "Dear Lord, help me to do better," or whatever. Isn't that true? But that's not what I'm asking for. I'm asking if, as we're sitting here, you're thinking, "You know, I need to love my enemies. You know, I need to love my spouse. You know, I need to love church," or any one of a number of other things. And dear God, you spoke to me this morning, and so help me to do that. Provide so that I can do it. And so it's a specific prayer. So for 5 or 6 or 8 or 9 or less or more, raise your hand. I'll tell people how many raised their hand. And here's the reason for that. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 that we are to assemble ourselves together. And the reason is so that we can stir up. Provoke is the word the Bible uses. So we can provoke, stir up one another to love and good works. You know, when God speaks to your heart and somebody else knows it, it's an encouragement. Isn't that true?
Amen.
And so let's just say 4 people raise their hand. And you'd say, "Well, praise God. This morning in the service, 4 of us asked for the Lord's help." Is this all making sense? Okay, let's bow together and we'll pray. Let's bow together. Father, you know hearts. I've seen these hands, and I know several people will come to you asking your provision so they'll live the way you would have them to live. Help us to honor you and to obey you, Father. And these people are coming specifically with their request, and I know you'll hear them. We pray these things in Christ's name. Our heads are bowed. Right where you're seated, if you'll just take a minute right now and pray. You just ask the Lord's help right where you're seated. We'll just wait. Our heads are still bowed. I hope I'm not interrupting anybody's praying. But if you prayed specifically and asked the Lord to help you have victory in your life about things he's spoken to you about this morning, would you slip a hand up so I can see it? I'm going to count them. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Well, praise the Lord. 13 people. Okay, God bless you. You want to look this way? Want to look this way? That's the way to live. In other words, when you're facing something that really is to you a mountain, and God says to do something, and you say, "Boy, this is not easy." And that's true. Many of the things the Lord requires of us are not easy, or ask of us. Ask him to do it through you. Ask his help. Make sense? And it'll work. God bless you. Pastor?
Praise the Lord for that wonderful thought this morning. Sometimes, although we know the truth, we forget it, and we try to go it alone. And sometimes the Lord's got to get us like Peter drowning before we can realize and look up, "Hey, we're in trouble. We need you. Do for us what we can't do for ourselves." Remember that. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And that's anything the Bible tells us to do, be that do something or repent of something, do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful morning. I praise the Lord for the great Sunday school, the great message this morning. And we will be back tonight at 6 p.m. Brother Bill's got, we've got him again. It's not an accident. We didn't throw in another service. I know God has a plan for tonight. He wants